Good morning, everyone. Our next presenter is Pro Assurance Corp, ticker PRA, a company which really needs no introduction. They are the fourth largest writer of MedMal and the largest public pure play writer. PRA has consistently outperformed its peers. From the management team, we have Vic Adama, who is President and Chief Operating Officer, Ned Rand, CFO, and Frank O'Neill, who is the Senior VP. With that, I will turn it over to Vic.
Thank you, Amit. Our goal in life is to be a good public company. Our core business is to provide professional liability insurance for primarily medical professionals, the doctor that you may go to in your localized practice, more so now an ancillary health care provider, a podiatrist, a chiropractor, across the mesh of medical specialties. We'll talk more of that as we go along. We're currently insuring 62,000 plus risks, of which 54,000 of those are health care related. We operate in 49 states and the District of Columbia. Pro Assurance, we start first as an operating company and pride ourselves in the achievements of the organization because they reflect the manner and the care in which we manage the organization. This is the third straight year, 2009, that we were a member of the Wards 50. If you're not familiar with that, that's the Wards organization does a ground-up review of PNC company financial statements on a rolling five-year period and comes up with a statistical selection of the top 50 PNC groups in the United States. We've been on that list for 3 years. In the last year, we were affirmed up to the A level by AM Best. We also carry an A by the Fitch organization. Through our merger and acquisition activity, we've been able to grow the top line of the organization. That's very difficult, as you know, in this part of the PNC cycle. We've done that carefully. We'll talk a little bit more about our M&A activities, but we've added $100 million to our top line through M&A during the course of 2009. We also, 2009 was a very good year for our organization. The primary metric we focus on is book value per share, which grew 23% during this period. And as you can see, long-term book value growth is a hallmark. Our insurance operators, we look at growing book value both because it allows us to write more insurance product over the long term, returns value to the shareholders, as is reflected in our share price. Share price, as you'd appreciate in your business, is not quite as smooth as the book value per share growth, but we are very committed to enhancing both book value and shareholder value. At this point in the cycle, as many PNC companies, our multiple is below its historic level. We've had an average historic of 1.5, often trading substantially above that. We're now in the 1.1 area. So I guess at this point we've gone from being a garbage stock to a value stock, and I hope there are a lot of value investors in the audience. Financial strength is very important to us. We deal in the medical professional liability segment. That is a volatile segment. We are a large carrier in that segment, $4-plus billion in assets, close to $2 billion in shareholders' equity and market cap. And our investment portfolio is very important. In medical professional, you hang on to the premium dollars for a long period of time. And the return on that is important to your bottom line. On a pre-tax basis, we had $151 million of investment income during 2009. We have a diversified fixed income portfolio. We offset the volatility of the insurance market with a conservative fixed income portfolio for four-year duration on the portfolio. We were the first in our segment to put it out on our website. If you want to examine our portfolio down to the CUSIP number, I invite you to go out there and pull it up and take a look at it. And you'll see that we are, as I say, diversified across fixed income investments, looking for both yield and care and conservatism care in the selection of our underlying credits. The municipal sector has gotten a lot of attention recently. I do want to say that when we looked at municipals, and this is nothing new, we always look at the underlying credit. We never, when there was such a thing, we never depended upon the financial insurance. We are primarily revenue bond focused in munis, and we've cut back a little bit recently, but we still see them as a good long-term investment as long as one is careful in the selection and diversified by state. give you an overview of where we are financially. During 2009, we were $550+ million in premium with, shareholders' equity of $1.7 billion, and our first quarter has been very consistent with the prior year. We also, of course, look at our capital position on a continuing basis. We're always discussing it with our board. We've been active in share buybacks, in debt buybacks. We've purchased $250 million worth over the last 5 years, and we'll continue to do that as conditions warrant and the prices are appropriate. But in our business, and we do have to emphasize this, capital is king. When you run an insurance company, capital is the product or the core element that allows you to grow that business. So we are always going to be focused on having adequate capital for growth, having adequate capital to succeed in different parts of the market cycle. And so we are apt to be a capital-rich organization as we go down the road, and this shows you our leverage and our ability to deploy capital for M&A, which has been a very, very important part of our growth story. And as you can see, we have ample adequate capital for opportunities as they may arise. When one looks at any kind of property and casualty business, of course, in the soft cycle, you have to take a look at the pricing discipline. Is the organization staying close to its pricing discipline? Is it trying to maintain a good top line but not giving away the premium? And as you can see on this slide, our pricing is down somewhat, but as we would maintain, reflective of the drop in frequency in the medical professional liability segment, our renewing premiums last year were slightly down. In the soft market, we think this is a very good result. We're still committed to getting our return on the premium dollars that we sell. We have a broad diversification of risk. We do business in almost every state in the country. We do substantial business in the Midwest and southeastern states. We do this on a localized basis in our medical professional liability product for doctors, the ones that are practicing in your local neighborhood and hospitals. We have a network of local offices where we do claims and underwriting from. Our headquarters is in Birmingham, Alabama, but we deliver our services very close to the doctors. Part of our expanded national footprint in the last year is through our podiatry subsidiary. They're a little more national focused just given the scale and the types of premiums involved in that organization. But in the historic book of medical professional liability business, where the premiums are quite large and the doctors need hands-on service at the local level, we're there to provide for them. Our differentiator has been claims management. For those of you that have followed ProAssurance and its predecessors, that's been a hallmark of our organization. When physicians buy our product, they buy it both certainly for asset protection, but also for reputation protection. And we want to be there on the local level to handle their claims, to handle them aggressively, to do what they want to do, which is for us to protect their reputation. This slide, just these numbers out of context may not mean a lot, but these are cases that actually go to jury trial and are resolved at the jury trial level. We do far more than any of our competitors in the marketplace. The last couple of years, as we said, frequency is down, so it's reflective, but we're still a very aggressive company in taking claims to ultimate resolution by the jury where necessary. This is what our clients want, and it also is part of our bottom line philosophy. We were able to see this actually externally, which is always nice to show you. So instead of just hearing our views on it and our data, the state of Ohio has been collecting some objective data from carriers across the state, and they recently published their results from 2005 to 2008. And when we look at them, you'll see the difference in claims philosophy between ProAssurance and the industry at large, or the medical professional liability industry at large. You'll see in this first slide that whereas the industry at large was resolving 75% of its files with no indemnity payment, ProAssurance was at 93%. Substantial difference. How does that come about? It comes about, we posit to you, because we're willing to try more cases to a final resolution of a jury, 13% compared to 4%. Even getting a good settlement depends upon your ability to convince the plaintiff lawyer that you're willing to go to the mat on the case. And we are. They know we are. We have the horses to do it. Great defense lawyers in our states. We spend a lot of time working with our defense lawyers, selecting the best ones. In our business, the defense lawyers are outside firms that we hire at the local level. They're specialists in defense work, usually specialists in medical professional liability. And it's our job and our goal to have only the best. How does that translate to into dollars? Well, when all this works through the system, our average indemnity payment, and that's the amount that's paid to the plaintiff and the plaintiff lawyer, was $29,800 compared to an industry average of $67,000. So, again, this is objective data from the state of Ohio. It will always be a little different from state to state, but it certainly shows the strength of our organization, which has always been in the claims management area. This is a localized state business, and when someone talks to you about our business, they have to be able not only to talk nationally and hopefully have a national scale, but to be very focused on the individual states. Tort reform is important, but again, it happens on a state-by-state basis. It's our policy to not recognize tort reforms until they work their way through the numbers, which is usually many years after they're enacted. That's just good business in the MPL sector, but also just takes into account the realities. For example, Illinois passed some pretty broad-based tort reforms about 5 years ago. The consensus was that they would never make it through the Illinois Supreme Court, and in fact, they did not. We never priced these into our Illinois product. So that the fact that tort reform is not there is not a financial burden to the organization. Nonetheless, we are advocates of tort reform. We are always supporters of it. It's good for our clients and therefore good for ProAssurance. The medical professional liability business grew up in the 1975 to 1980 era as single state companies, usually started by a local medical society or group of doctors, perhaps with some support from the insurance industry or insurance professionals, perhaps not. It grew because the then carriers in the the providers of medical professional left the market. They were generally the multi-line insurance companies that had medical professionals as a sideline. When all of a sudden the plaintiff's bar discovered medical professional and had serious claims activity, the states just simply said, this isn't for us, and the doctors had to come up with their own solution. Well, having done that, these are generally, some companies grew to be larger, but generally speaking, they stayed as small single-state companies and didn't have the financial or don't have the financial wherewithal to make it as the world deals with larger and larger financial institutions. ProAssurance has been the primary consolidator of these companies. We now have 19 predecessor companies and books of business as part of our organization. This has been our growth story, and we'll continue to look at it as our growth story. We would suggest to you that it makes sense both because we've been a successful acquirer. We do a good job at mergers and acquisitions and integration. M&A acquisition is probably never an A business, but we describe ourselves as good B-plus players. And we do a good job of bringing people in and keeping them in because, again, when you do your business at the local level and you have to know who the local judges are who are fair to you, who the local plaintiff's attorneys are who have skill, who the local defense attorneys are who are skilled, you want to have that institutional knowledge at the local level that you bring into the organization by M&A. We work very hard to keep people as part of the organization. We have a very long tenure in our senior management and in our middle management, the folks out in the various states representing the organization. And they generally come from the predecessor organizations that are now part of ProAssurance. We've also used mergers and acquisitions to diversify our scope. As I said, 2009 was a big diversification year for us. We brought in the PICA organization, Podiatry Insurance Company of America, which brought podiatrists and chiropractors into our mix. And Mid-Continent General Agency, which is an aggregator, a wholesaler of sorts that does ENS lines for ancillary health care providers. They previously insured their business with Lloyd's of London and to some extent through ProAssurance. We bought the organization, so now they continue to do their bringing in of the business, their underwriting of the business, but the bulk of it now is on ProAssurance paper. And this piece is especially important as we look at what just happened in healthcare or healthcare insurance reform in Washington. We're always asked, you know, what does it mean to our business? Well, the short answer is nothing in the short run. There was nothing in the healthcare bill that passed about medical professional liability except some demonstration projects, which were underfunded and essentially meaningless. They probably will never see the light of day, and if they do, they are not going to make any difference on the landscape. But we all know that 30 to 40 million new insureds are coming online starting in 2013. And when that starts to happen, there's going to be, has to be changes. That's a large number of folks going on. As I like to tell people, that's seven new states of Alabama or three new states of New Jersey that all of a sudden are saying, here, you got health care insurance now. That's a lot of folks coming into the system. It is going to, we think, and we're certainly banking on this, causing growth in the ancillary health care providers, the physician assistants, the medical assistants, the nurses, the home health care workers. And this data is not our data, but this is from the Bureau of Labor Statistics, the projected growth in these segments over the next number of years. Mid-Continent moves us into this line, so we're taking the skills of Mid-Continent as an underwriter of ancillary health care products and adding our balance sheet and our ability to grow that business. These are the types of things we think about. We're always thinking about where healthcare is going and how we're going to position ourselves with it. I've talked about Washington, so I'll move on here. Again, as we look at the organization, we're a very focused organization on medical professional. We do a little bit of lawyers, as you saw. We do have expertise in somewhat broader in professional liability, but our core is medical professional, and we certainly see ourselves being there as a core in the foreseeable future. We've grown the business through M&A. We're always looking for M&A that adds to the financial well-being of the organization and the strategic positioning of the organization. The market is changing. Medicine's changing. The healthcare landscape is changing. Financials are changing. Everything is changing around us, and at ProAssurance, we are doing our best to position ourselves for the future, maintain a very strong capital balance that we can grow into the future, provide value for our shareholders. And with that, Amit, we'll turn it over to any questions. The question was, with the healthcare reform going down, do we expect to see a drift towards hospitals in terms of our client base? The answer is certainly that's the conjecture right now. I was on a panel last week with three other publicly traded medical professional liability companies, and that was the consensus that that's a potentially likely outcome. One would think as there are more pressures on physicians in the system. There's not a lot of reimbursement in the bill except for family care practitioners. That will cause physicians to go into larger groupings, exacerbate the trends of going towards hospital employment. And certainly that's something that one has to look at and say that's a reasonable possibility. We've seen some of these trends in the past, and they've reversed themselves, so one never knows for sure. But certainly we look at that as a reasonable possibility for our business segment. We currently insure 180 hospitals. It's 10 to 15% of our business when you put in the facilities. So we're in that line, but not as a major focus of our medical professional liability. So that is one of the areas we're looking at, looking for ways in which we can grow our capabilities in that business. But we certainly think that that's a reasonable possibility as we move into the larger changes that are brought about by the health care bill. Yes, sir.
I have a question at the other end, actually. There are some doctors who are going to move away from taking any kind of governmental medical reimbursement. I tell them I do, and that's almost a measure of either confidence or quality taking today. Is there some product that you could design that targets them? Because this is a sector of the market that's probably not spotless as well as the broad sector.
Clearly, the data in our own experience is that relationship with patients makes a big difference. That, generally speaking, if people are happy with their doctor tells them why things work right and why things don't work right, you get less lawsuits in that situation. So we do not have a specific product. That's a great idea. Generally speaking, there is some rating mechanisms by which doctors with better experience get better premiums from us, if we're claims-free discounts and that sort of thing. We don't have a specific product geared at concierge doctors, which are, I think, the label that's been put on them now, but certainly that we take a look at that. Thanks.
lot about the true goals for that top company. Apart from buyback and acquisition, do you have any comments, especially dividends, down the road?
You want to take it? I'll let our CFO handle it.
We don't take anything off the table. Dividends are always one of the things that we consider in looking at capital deployment or return of capital to shareholders. We're anxious to see where dividend taxation goes. And I think if the administration does nothing to change where they're headed, and so you're headed into 2011 with dividend taxation topping out at 44%, you are likely to see companies paying special dividends at the end of 2010 as a way to kind of take advantage of the taxation that does exist today. So we're obviously aware of that, and it is within the things that we do consider.
There's just one final question. In terms of tort reform, and we've discussed how perhaps it's a part of societal change in terms of claims, are there any changes in the system which could impact tort reform going forward? Or something more state-based as opposed to federal?
There's always litigation going on. In the states in which we do business in, I'm unaware of a major potential change in the landscape. Is that fair, Frank?
I think that's fair. I try to keep a watch on that for the company. I think you've seen with Illinois, for example, taking down the tort reform at the Supreme Court level, the physicians and healthcare providers there are looking for other alternatives. I know that there is a movement there to replicate the Texas tort reform. Texas, if you'll remember, was enacted as a constitutional amendment, therefore making it immune to constitutional challenge. The Texas physicians and healthcare providers were able to move that through on the narrowest of margins. There is certainly some grassroots ground level support for that kind of thing in Illinois. But you can also bet, as Vic said, that there are states where the plaintiff bar is looking very closely at how they can challenge the tort reforms that are in place. There was a real sweeping movement to enact lawsuit reforms during the last hard market because that hard market was caused by a rapid increase in claim severity and in frequency, and the way that most states addressed that was to enact some tort reforms. Some states, frankly, lacked the backbone to challenge the plaintiff bar and enacted subsidies that are frankly very costly to those states. So if you see those subsidies go away, then that's going to affect greatly the professional liability climate in those particular states where it happened. So I think it's going to be an interesting next couple of years, but the Obama administration clearly signaled that they want to keep the adjudication of claims, the ability to control the claims environment at the local level. That's evidenced by the fact that there's nothing in the healthcare bill of substance, that the amount of money devoted to these special demonstration projects is very low. You know, if you think about it, you go back to when there were tort reforms passed in the 80s, we've got demonstration projects that have proven. California's got MICRA, the most successful tort reform. That would be a demonstration project I'd look at. Indiana has long capped total damages in a case. That law is replicated in Indiana, Louisiana, and to some extent in Kansas. There are panel requirements for pre-hearings in Indiana. That's a demonstration project. So had they been serious about it, I think the general opinion of the MPL companies that that they would have looked to some of the existing results rather than throwing a pittance of money at it. So I think it's going to continue to be very much a local and state-by-state situation.
Let me just add one thought to that. A very conscious reason that we've tried to build up ProAssurance, the size and scope of the organization, is in fact that medical professional is volatile, and you don't want, at least in our case, do not want to be highly concentrated in one state or just a couple states, because you can have substantial changes in the litigation landscape. So part of our whole idea is every state is that we're in is very important to us, but we try to be in the posture where no one state is absolutely critical in the way we operate and manage the business, and to have a balance sheet that allows us when these opportunities from volatility come about that we're able to take advantage of them from going in and serving that local population. So it's part of, well, again, we're proponents of tort reform. We think tort reform has done great things, but we try to be realistic as we look at the world. Thank you very much.